news and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by.
And it is going by the book. Family, welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. I tell you what, the heresies are coming out of the woodwork, departing from basic biblical theology is what's happening today. You got people like David Pack, and you got Copeland and Hagee, and gosh, Rick Warren, Rick Joyner, highest level are departing from the faith. They're coming up with heresies that are going to destroy congregations and people. I can't for the life of me figure out what these people think. I just don't understand it. They have a grave responsibility, massive responsibility. People trust them. But it's not for us to judge. It's just for us to reprove, correct, identify, point out, call as a watchman to tell people to be careful about it. We can't judge them. God will be the one to judge them. And that he will. But in the meantime, we have to correct some of these heresies that they're coming out with that are just coming out of the woodwork. And tonight, I want to talk a little bit more about the Sabbath, kind of close it down, so to speak, what we talked about last night. And then I want to go into part one of being born again. And I want to dispel, it may be part one, probably part two tomorrow, about being born again. And hopefully you'll gather some knowledge that you can use against these heresies that's coming out, that you don't become born again until Jesus comes back and your body's changed to immortality, then you're born again. That's completely not even biblical. And they pull out of the woodwork, out of the Bibles, really just a circle of scriptures that really doesn't mount to hill of beans. The scriptures are good, of course, but they've got them out of sequence, and they're hoping that people have not studied the Bible. And so by their own trained actions and aggressiveness and techniques, they're hoping to snow people. That's what's going on today. I'm going to talk about, mention the heresies first. I'm not going to talk about them in detail till later on this week. A collection of heresies is being taught today. And we need to expose them. But today's a close down, finish up with the Sabbath for Gentiles, and then we want to move into what it means to be a born-again Christian and what that entails. And that's what we're going to do tonight and tomorrow night. Lord, thank you. Tonight we come together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, that we can have a Bible study together, that, Lord, to lead us tonight with your Holy Spirit. Guide us, Lord, with knowledge, wisdom, discernment that we can share. Father, we can learn. And Father, to give us insight to deal with these heresies that's coming through. that are there to kill and destroy. That, Father, we can dissect them and expose them for the heresies that they are. Father, we're praying for our brethren, for those to wake up. Father, we pray for those watchmen to come out and preach the truth. Father, we pray for the exposing of the false teachers, exposing of these fallen angels that are integrating themselves into their churches, into our politics, into this world. Father, you'll expose them for who they really are. Father, we pray for healing for our family members, to bring families together, Lord. We pray for healing of our friends that we've prayed for before, and for family members, their family members. I'm praying for protection of the children. And Father, we pray that you take away this demon of suicide that's touching, or seems to be increasing worldwide. For divine appointments to lead people away from the thoughts of suicide. To override these effects of these psychotropic drugs that's being pumped into people and veterans and children with this fake ADHD and all these conditions that's being brought down to justify putting drugs in people's bodies. That, Lord, that you'll expose this heresy and protect their bodies. Lord, we pray for those warring angels to come down. Lord, we pray for them to strip away protection of this Wicca and this Satanist and all these alike. But Father, to bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts as a guide to your Son, Jesus, so that they too can be set free. Father, we pray for these Freemasons. Father, we pray that they'll renounce the blood oath, that you'll touch them, convict them of the lies being told. Father, these things we pray for the coming of Jesus Christ, for that day when it arrives. And Father, to help us get ready to do thy will. That's why we pray, Lord, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, I'm not going to elaborate tonight, that is, on the heresies being taught. We'll elaborate later in detail. But what's being taught is denial of blood atonement, denial of the deity of Christ. We can see this happening in the news. Oh, they're trying really hard to bring in that Yeshua, Sanand Emmanuel, the fake Jesus, is a false prophet yet to come. He'll come in the name of Yeshua. That's why they promote the sacred name movement and the Hebrew Roots movement. It's a lie coming straight from hell. And that's what they're pushing, this alien nonsense and ascended masters and New Age. And this is how they're going to coordinate it and connect it. I'd say the majority of Christians have no idea what's coming their way. This fake UFO alien nonsense is going to take many by surprise. The churches are not being prepared. Some are saying we're only 3.5 years in the tribulation. Some say that Calvinists, especially that Calvinism, they say that, well, we're already through the tribulations, and 70 AD was destruction of temple. They've got it so messed up, but it's messed up by design. Lutheran, Calvinism, Christianity. Jesus Christ is not about any religion whatsoever. Jesus is about being a Christian that follows Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's it. And the Vatican in 325 AD, a gambleism, Christianized it, if there's such a word. He Christianized it and they say, let's call this Christianity, and pull the Christians in, and that's what Constantine did. And the Vatican from 1200 A.D. to 1800 A.D. not only wanted to corrupt the true teaching, but then they decided just to start murdering, which they did. 50 to 68 million people were murdered by the Vatican in the 600-year period. That's just, not counting the wars they promulgated. So if you can't beat them, join them. And if you join them, then kill them. And that's exactly what they've been doing. That's a fact. Family of Satan is prince of this world, but he's not king. His time's coming. But all those who follow him and these heresies, will end up with him. See, Satan is not in hell. Hell was created for him. Satan doesn't control hell. The lake of fire comes later. We'll also talk about that later. Denial of the deity of the Holy Ghost. Denial of eternal security. Denial of literal burning hell. Denial of the physical resurrection of Christ. Denial of the literal second coming of Christ. Denial of sin nature from birth. See, when they have this denial of the sin nature from birth, yeah, it's sneaky. They go hand in hand with, well, you're not born again until Jesus Christ comes back and you're made immortal. That's being born again. So that's where the denial of sin nature from birth comes in. Oh, they're sneaky. Satan is sneaky. And uses sneaky people to pass this nonsense off. Have denial of the Trinity. See, that's why they changed the 1 John 5:7. They couldn't do that with the King James Bible. But with all the other Bibles, they changed 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7 identifies the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. But all the other Bibles say all three testify. Well, then you say, well, all three what? You see, that's how they work it. That's why Westcott and Hort, two Freemasons, 1870s, 1890s, convened the board to convince them that there's older versions are more accurate and that the Bibles need to be updated. And that's how the Freemasons started the heresies of the New Age Bibles. The Bibles we have today, NIV, New American Standard Bible, ESV, Jerusalem, all that nonsense. King James Bible stands alone. No other Bible can even touch it. The only way they're going to discredit the King James Bible will be by changing the culture, which they started doing, and by the falling away, which will happen, and the book of Enoch. It's a Gnostic book, never written by Enoch, and it's a bunch of garbage. It's got some true information about the fallen angels, true, but it's written not by Enoch. It's impossible. It's written as a Gnostic book in the first century. It'll become a significant book after the deception because the atheists adhere or agree with the book of Enoch as aliens in there. The Muslims agree with the book of Enoch. Christians sporadically deal with the book of Enoch off and on. So it's accepted. But the King James Bible convicts the soul. Why people don't like it, because they get convicted when they read it. And then lastly, the denial of the virgin birth. Not immaculate conception, but denial of the virgin birth. Because she had sex afterwards. Hello. And the multiple authorities and salvation through works. That's just a and the Lord's Supper required weekly. Baptismal regeneration. Amillennialism. Man, I tell you, that musical instruments forbidden in worship. Salvation through works, true church his theory. Man, it just goes on and on and on. Satan's been a busy, busy boy. Well, I hope that in this week we'll expose all that. If not, we'll go into next week. Should we keep the Sabbath? I want to close up this tonight and maybe tie some loose ends. You know, it was a custom of the Jews to come together on the Sabbath, which was Saturday, cease work and worship God. Of the Ten Commandments that's listed in Exodus, only nine of them were reinstituted in the New Testament. Six you'll find in Matthew 19, verse 18, murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, honor thy parents, and worshiping God. And Romans 13, 9, you'll find coveting. So worshiping God properly actually covers the first three commandments. The one that was not reaffirmed was the one about the Sabbath. Instead, Jesus said that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. They keep forgetting that. In Matthew, I believe it's 12:8. Matthew 12, verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So, during the time of creation, God rested on the seventh day. God rested on the seventh day. But see, God's all powerful, is it not? God doesn't get tired. He doesn't need to take a break and rest. So why does it say he needed rest? He rested. Reason is very simple. In Mark 2:27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So in other words, God established the Sabbath as a rest for his people. Not because he needed a break, but because we are mortal and need a time of rest, a focus on God. And in this, our spirits and our bodies are both renewed. Like fasting does that as well. Besides sacrificing, fasting also cleans our bodies out. In addition to being required to deal with high-level strong man demons, as it says in Matthew 17:21, howbeit this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Well, you won't find that verse in NIV. In other Bibles, you won't find Matthew 17:21. But why? Because they don't want you to know how to deal with the demonic spirits. That's why they took it out. King James Bible, you'll find it. But not in the other Bibles. See, that's how sneaky they are. I call it like I see it. Sneaky and evil. The Old Testament system that it had of the law was required in keeping the Sabbath as part of an overall legal or moral and sacrificial system. And this was ran by the Jewish people, the chosen people of God, the Hebrew Jews, not the Ashkenazi and Khazars and Jew today in Israel today. The real Jewish people, the Hebrew Jews, oh, they'll come out of the woodwork. You watch. They're also called the 144,000. Mid-tribulation, they'll come out. They've tried for the generations to try to find this bloodlines, but they can't do it. And they won't. Because they know the 144,000 will be coming out to preach against them. And to bring God's people back. but those that would accept Jesus Christ of Jews. The real Jews. It was kept by the Jewish people then, of satisfying God's requirements for their behavior, government, and forgiveness of sins. You also could be assured that he gave Adam and Eve the laws. Abraham received the law. Moses received the law, but he got it written in stone. Original and copy, as a matter of fact. Remember, he broke the first set. So the Sabbath was part of the law in that sense. So, in order to remain in favor with God, you had to keep the Sabbath. Then, if it was not kept, then the person was in sin and would be punished. I was in Saudi Arabia for 3 years, and they follow the same thing, except they do it now. I saw it. If you were on their day of worship, Friday, and you weren't out there worshiping, they'd take these sticks and whack you with it. They'd whack people, beat them up, and all kinds of things. I saw it happen. They forced people. They'd go to the supermarkets and shopping centers, and we weren't required, of course, but we'd see them whacking them with these sticks, the Matawa, they called them, religious police. Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23. Imagine some people now, if you're listening to my broadcast and Bible study. Oh man, like I heard this past week. Man, you're messing up my karma. I know about the Illuminati. I don't want to talk about it. I said, why? You're messing up my karma, man. I'm like, what are you talking about? That happened this weekend. 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Jesus Christ our Lord. Which we are born into sin because of Adam and Eve's original sin. And we're not born again until Jesus Christ comes back. Therein lies a problem. If you're born in sin, which the Bible says so, and Jesus Christ comes back to change us, so what point in time are you born again? If you're already a sinner, and sin will not go into the kingdom of heaven, corruptible flesh. At what point do you repent of that sin? At what point do you acknowledge that you are a sinner? What cleanses us before Jesus Christ comes back? You see, they can't answer that. And their followers are being misled. Especially that David Pack and the rest of them. Arnold Murray and so forth. Christian Identity. Oh my goodness. 37,000 different sects of Christianity. So how can you say that Christianity is a religion of God? Because God don't have religion. He's got salvation and redemption through his Son, Jesus Christ, not religion. No one's saved by religion. They're saved by Jesus. No one's saved by Mary. You're saved by Jesus. No one's saved or helped by some rosary beads made out of plastic, metal, or wood, or whatever. You're saved by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's it. You're not saved by a cross. The cross takes your sins. You put them on the cross. But Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit inside you, that's what saves you. Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giver a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, little g, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proves you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk with the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. When it says fear him, from a terminology of that day, which is what we're supposed to use, not to change it, is to love, respect, and yes, have some fear, of course. But the fear also means to love and respect. And to keep his commandments. And that prophet or dreamer of dreams, the false one he's talking about here, shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which you brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeems you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shall thou put the evil away in the midst of thee. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or the son of thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Namely, of the gods of the people which are about you, round you, nigh unto thee, for far off from thee, from the one end of the earth unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shall thou spare, neither shall thou conceal him. This is Old Testament now. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all thy people. And thou shalt stone him with stones. God wasn't playing around in the Old Testament. That's why it's good when Jesus came, we could put those sins on the cross. No more stoning. You're still accountable for it, but through Jesus Christ and grace, repentance, acknowledging it, is a whole lot better than being stoned. But then by not doing it, you may escape the stoning, but you won't escape the burning in hell. That's a problem. You see how it works? God established the rules. This is where we are. This is what's coming. This is what is. And you got those out there trying to redirect us another path. You see how serious this really is? They have in certain churches, I think last year I was asked to go to a church. Tom, you coming to our church? I said, well, what? We have this comedian. He goes around, evangelical comedian. I said, evangelical what? A comedian. Yeah, he's really good. He goes to churches. He's funny. He talks about God. I said, he's funny? Yeah, you know, I don't see nothing funny about it. Oh, come on, man, lighten up. I don't see it joking. I don't see a joke about it. Laughing off people's conviction that come there to the night to receive God's holy word and laughing and joking, I don't see it funny at all. People aren't to laugh away the conviction in their heart that they got to lay upon the cross, that they need to talk to someone or have the Holy Spirit come in them. It's not funny. I see nothing funny about it. And yet, they have these people doing it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're supposed to laugh. I don't know, but I don't agree with it. When someone is convicted of a sin, they're not there to make a joke out of it and laugh. They're there to bring it before and to have some relief of it by repenting and laughing about it. It doesn't get it. Might make you forget about it, but forgetting about it will not allow you to repent of it. You just kind of laugh it off. Numbers 35:31. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. In Leviticus 20, verse 2, for example. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, his children, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. What did Shem do to his great nephew, Nimrod? He killed him and cut his head off. Cut him in pieces, actually. His great nephew, Nimrod, the son of Cana, or Cush, the son of Ham, was the first Freemason. He's also taught the sorcery and the craft, child sacrifice. Shem said, that's not going to do. So he killed him, cut him up in little pieces, scattered to pieces. They didn't fool around back then. With Jesus' atonement and justification by faith, Romans 5:1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we no longer required to keep the law, hence the Sabbath, which was only a shadow of things to come. Colossians 2, verse 16 to 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Family, it tells you right there. And those that promote this Sabbath on Saturday and Sunday is required for all, when you tell them this, they just skip right over it. They don't address that at all. They never do. Because they can't. We're no longer required to keep the law. We're not under the law, but grace. Romans 6, 14 to 15. It's all through the Bible. I mean, I'm not a theologian. I can figure this out. 14 to 15, for goodness sakes. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus because in him we have rest. Matthew 11:28. Funny how they skip over these things. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible defines itself. And he also fulfilled the need for any graven image, like a cross or necklace or whatever else it is. No. Exodus 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. So your occult signs and symbols and your crosses and all that stuff. Alberto Rivera talked about that. They're all idols. The Holy Spirit is all you need. You see? Now, when you look at Romans 10:4, it says that Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. That Romans 10:4 helps understanding what it means that Christians are not under the law. It's important relative to this discussion tonight. The Apostle Paul clarifies the effects of the original sin in Romans 2:12 when he states, all who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. So all men stand condemned before God. So if you're not born again, they don't do the born again experience before Jesus comes, and then what? They don't explain that. Whether they're Jews or not, or to be put it another way, say, whether they have the law of God or not, Paul also states, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. So if we are without Christ, we are condemned in God's sight by the law that was given to his servant Moses. However, we might argue that those who are not Jewish and therefore do not benefit from the knowledge of Mosaic law, including the moral, ceremonial type laws and all that, should not be condemned in the same way. Well, that's already taken care of. If you go to Romans 2, 14 and 15, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. And in that day, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So if we're without Christ, we're condemned in God's sight by the law. You know, the law is the issue that has to be dealt with in order to understand or to bring us into light the relationship with God. But just know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Galatians 2, verse 16. So this particular passage reveals to us that the law cannot be justified or make righteous any man in God's sight, which is why God sent his son to fulfill the requirements. Wages of sin is death. And for all those who would believe in him. So, quickly, here's where Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse that's been brought down through the law by becoming a curse for us. Galatians 3, verse 13. So, in essence, he substituted himself in our place. And upon the cross took the punishment that's ours. But we can't come back from the dead. We don't ascend. We're taken. Enoch didn't ascend. Enoch was taken. Enoch had his body changed before he was brought up, not after he got there. Because he walked righteous. You see, the others died of natural causes. But because he was righteous from the start, God brought him up, translated his body, which means actually changing the DNA and RNA. That's another word for translation, by the way. Yeah, I found that. That's what that translation means in Enoch. Or otherwise it'd say that Enoch ascended. But he couldn't have. Only Jesus can ascend. So he fulfilled and upheld the requirements of the law. That doesn't mean that we as Christians, not to be associated with Christianity, are to be lawless, as some advocate today, a teaching called antinomianism. What a word. Antinomianism. There's a darn ism again. Those isms are killers, man. All kinds of isms, even rheumatism, is a killer. But all these other isms, Nazism, fascism, communism, antinomianism or something. If it's an ism, it's got to be bad. It means that we are free from the Mosaic law. Some people say that we can do anything we want to. I had someone actually tell me 2 weeks ago. He came into this bookstore I go into just to have a cup of coffee. He said, oh, yeah, I go to the Baptist church. And I don't think it's Westboro Baptist Church. No. But he says he went to a Baptist church, and you can do anything you really want. I said, what do you mean? What? He said, yeah, Jesus died on the cross and took our sins, and we pretty much can do what we want to do. I said, man, I don't know which Baptist church you go to or what church you're going to, but you better get out of there before they start bringing out dolls and sticking with pins. You better get going. I don't think you like that too much. But I said, you got to get out of that church, man. No. I don't know where these people are getting this stuff. See, Jesus Christ became the end of the law by virtue of what he did on earth through his sinless life and sacrifices on the cross. He took it for us. He took our bullet. So the law no longer has any bearing over us because its demands have been fully met in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ satisfied the righteous demands and that the law required and restores us to a relationship with God. But it's got to be done before we die. They want everybody to appear on Sunday. For others, everybody appear on Saturday so we can take your money. So we can worship Saturnalia, Saturn. On Sunday, we worship the sun god and not take your money. Don't forget the ATM machine at the back. You're under the pagan holidays. They get everybody there at one time. This is why they want you there. We're no longer under the law. But you would take a day of rest, whatever day you want, just like the scriptures say. Because we're not under the law. Every day, whatever we do, it's in service of God. Every day, not just Sundays. You see? So it's really worse than it was. I mean, you could consider it tighter than it ever was. Sacrifice an animal once a year, but now it's 24/7. If I look upon a woman in lust, I've committed adultery. Before, you had to commit adultery, and then you atone for it by sacrificing an animal, an innocent animal, for your sin. See how it worked? Well, now it's 24/7, man. You can't even take it. You committed adultery just like you've actually did it. So it's really up close and personal. So then it kind of leads us into, what does it mean to be born again then? Well, now I cover the basics right now, and then tomorrow we'll get to more detail, part one today, of what it means to be born again. And this question is answered in John 3, 1 to 21, at 21 verses. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus. You know the story. He's a prominent Pharisee and member of the Sanhedrin, which is then the ruling body of the Jews. And the Nicodemus had come to Jesus at night with some questions. I'm not going to go over all of John 3, 1 to 21. And Jesus talked with Nicodemus. He said, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Now, you can't see the kingdom of God unless it's born again. So, how do you become immortal when Jesus Christ comes back if you've been a sinner all this time? You see, they don't answer that question. With this, when they say, well, you don't become born again until Jesus comes, he changes your body. Well, he's not going to be changing your body to come to heaven. You're going to be going to hell. Because when he comes back, then the angels are going to gather the wicked into a bundle and burn them. You understand this? The wicked will be removed then, after the tribulations and Armageddon. Because during the 1,000 years is a rebuilding of the earth population that's been decimated. From who? Well, do not forget, at the middle of the tribulation, the abomination of desolation, when the man of sin is revealed, declares himself to be God. Does not the Bible say in the book of Revelation that you don't even go inside the house to get a coat? Man, you head for the hills. He's talking about in Judea. That's who's going to be left. There'll be mortals. And they're told to head to the hills. That means they're still here. They've not been taken up. Uh-huh. What about that? The time the 144,000 will be preaching. Mid-tribulation. At the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist, that was a good guy. Was that song, good guy going to turn bad? Or good girl going to turn bad? Whichever one it is. So you head to the hills, and that will be a small remnant of the world's population in Jerusalem. That obviously would be mortal, protected by God. For the next judgment of God, which will be the seven trumpets, will then begin. For 3.5 years, God's going to destroy everything on this earth. As it says in the book of Revelation. Till Armageddon. So all's left is the supernatural, the transhumanized army. And that's what the 100-pound hailstones were all about. To get rid of the Nephilim that regenerated. Yep. And then, after Armageddon, God will send the angels down in the four corners. Will gather the wicked. They'll be put in hell. Lake of fire. False prophet also. And the Antichrist. Satan will be chained. Then the mortals that went to the hills will then repopulate the earth for 1,000 years again. To start all over. But without influence of Satan. Because he'd be chained in darkness until the end of the 1,000 years. Then released again to tempt the nations once more that's never been tempted. They've never been given the opportunity to go through what you are going through today. And apparently some will fall away because that will be the battle of Gog and Magog. They'll be defeated once again. Then Satan is thrown in the lake of fire. The great white throne judgment. If you're in the book of life, you go to heaven. Eternal life. If you're not in the book of life, you're going to hell for eternity from that point on. Then a new heaven and a new earth. The old one will be destroyed by fire, which means everybody will be immortal at that time. If you're flesh, mortal. See, people aren't really thinking about that in some areas. So being born again, as it talks about, to Nicodemus. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Guess I never heard of plastic surgery. In any case, how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. John 3:3-7. And in this one, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. In this, they use the claim that you must be baptized. That's not true. In John 3:3-7 is used frequently to prove that you must have water baptism. So you're telling me that God planned on, if I'm alone or with some other folks that's not preachers or whatever, and we have a water shortage or no way to find a river or stream, that I got to find one before I'm born again? No. You can be born again. You can be baptized with the Spirit of God. Baptism is an outward show and works. John 3:3-7. Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born of water and the Spirit, right? Well, he could never enter the kingdom of God without it. Okay. So what do you mean by this? Well, there's a lot of theologians and others that insist that the literal water is intended, that the Lord Jesus spoke of the necessity of baptism for salvation. However, this kind of teaching is contrary to the rest of the Bible. If you go throughout the Bible, the Word of God, you read that salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So baptism is intended for those who've already been saved, but not as a means of salvation in itself. Some people even suggest that if you can't speak in tongues, Holy Spirit's not in you. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. I've explained tongues before, so I won't hit you with that one. Some suggest that water refers to the Word of God. If you go to Ephesians 5:25-26, you'll find there, I'm not going to recite it, but you will find it in Ephesians 5:25-26, that water is closely associated with the Word of God. You see. And also in 1 Peter 1:23 and James 1:18, talking about the new birth is said to take place through the Word of God. So it's quite possible, therefore, that water in this verse does refer to the Bible or the written word scriptures. Well, actually, we know that there can be no salvation apart from the scriptures anyway. It's our instruction booklet manual. It's the message contained in the Word of God that must be appropriated by the sinner before they can ever be the new birth. But you know, also water in this case may also refer to the Holy Spirit. Not only the Word of God, but also the Holy Spirit. In John 7:38-39, you will find that Jesus Christ spoke of rivers of living water. And we're distinctly told that when he used this word water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit in that term. So if water means the Spirit in chapter 7, why can't it have the same meaning in chapter 3? We read on, there seems to be a difficulty if that interpretation is accepted. Yeah. Because Jesus says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, if water is taken to mean the Spirit, well, it appears that the Spirit is mentioned twice in that verse. But the word translated and could just as correctly have been translated even. Thus, the verse would read, unless one is born of water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, it's believed by many theologians that this is the correct meaning of the verse. Physical birth is not enough. There must be a spiritual birth if you're to enter the kingdom of God. And that spiritual birth is produced by the Holy Spirit of God. When a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, truly believes, and that interpretation is supported by the fact that the expression born of the Spirit is found twice in the verses that follow in 6 and 8. Three, six, and three, eight. You know the phrase, born again? Literally means born from above. Nicodemus had a real need. He needed a change of his heart, a spiritual transformation. A new birth, being born again, is an act of God whereby eternal life is imparted to the person that believes, truly believes. You'll find it in the following scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Titus 3, verse 5. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. 1 John 2, verse 29. 1 John 3, verse 9. 1 John 4, verse 7. 1 John 5, verses 1 to 4. And 1 John 18. And John 1, 12 and 13 indicates that being born again carries with it the idea of becoming children of God through trust in the name of Jesus Christ. So, logically, it comes from, why does a person need to be born again? So, in Ephesians 2, 1, what Paul says is that, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Actually, in Ephesians 2, 1, it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, it might be interesting to do a study on the word translated and quickened. That's a very interesting study on those two words. And in Romans 3:23, we've read this many times. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So sinners are spiritually dead when they receive the spiritual life through faith in Christ. And the Bible likens it to a rebirth. Only those who are born again have their sins forgiven and have a relationship with God. And this comes to be by Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Does not the Freemasons boast about the visiting the hospitals, helping the widows, helping the little ladies across the street? They think the good deeds belonging to Freemasons is a ticket for them to get to heaven and nothing else required. They got a big surprise coming. It's not true. Now, I'm going to conclude here tonight, and part two tomorrow. Focus on the heresies of you're only born again when Jesus Christ comes back. I don't know where they get this from. David Pack has got part of it in his own teaching, but these people are supposed to be smart. Supposed to be smart in the Bible, theology, and so forth. Where they get this heresy, I have no idea. How they reconcile it, I just... Unless they're totally deceptive. Totally. I mean, it just boggles my mind how they can do that. You just gotta not believe in God and pretend like you do to go against His word. Something's really crazy there. So tomorrow night we'll talk more about being born again. And that's really essential in this whole scheme of things. And they're attacking that big time. That's why they got to get rid of the Bible. Because it's a major sticking point for them. Let's close in prayer tonight, and then we'll see you all tomorrow. I remind you that John Kirkler plays our broadcast up at his network, highportradio.net. John Kirkler. He does it randomly. Remind you also that that my website is watchforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchful for Jesus. So family, just keep on plugging, and I'll be here. For me, it's a learning experience as well. Nobody knows it all. One of these days, you're going to know a lot, though, when Jesus Christ comes. He calls you up. Things are going to change. In the meantime, by being a watchman, witnessing, standing firm in his faith and belief, or his belief, his word with our faith and our belief. Whew, I'll get it right in a minute. Y'all have a good night tonight. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Lord, thank you tonight for this Bible study. Lord, lead us in the knowledge of being born again. Father, we can teach others, and Father, help us be strong. And Father, to lead us away from these distractions, give us divine appointments that, Father, we can witness to others, and give us the words to speak. We pray, Father, for protection for these days coming. And Father, to guide us as we fulfill thy will. And Lord, we pray for healing for our families and friends and those we come in contact with, and ask for our prayers. And Father, for ourselves to stay strong. Convict us we fall away. And give us the strength to match up to the days ahead. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brings me to mind that in Christ alone is where you're going to find that comfort. There is no other. It's going to take tribulations to get people's attention. That's why he loves us. That's why it's coming, because he wants to get their attention. And now this matrix and bubble that they've been put into that I talk about in my broadcast in the daytime, he's going to shake things up. In the meantime, family, y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And know that in Christ alone is where your salvation is found. Have a good night. God bless.
Here in the death of God. From the great heroes.